Chapter 10. A Bit of Luck. The next day, on December 10th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the train reached Chicago. Mr. Fogg quickly secured a train heading to New York. He and his companions then arrived at New York at 11:15 in the evening on December 11th. The steamship heading for Liverpool had left 3/4 of an hour before. The ship, named the China, seemed to have carried off Phileas Fogg's last hope with it. Passepartout was very upset. When he recalled all the incidents of the tour, he felt as though he was at fault for most of their delays. The party drove in a carriage to a hotel. Rooms were taken, and the night passed. If Mr. Fogg had left on the China, he would have reached Liverpool and then London within the period agreed on. Mr. Fogg left the hotel alone the next morning and proceeded to the banks of the Hudson River. Many vessels were about to set out, but they were mostly sailing vessels, which were of no use to him. Phileas Fogg seemed to give up all hope. Then he spied a merchant vessel. A cloud of smoke arose from it, signaling that she was getting ready to leave the port. Mr. Fogg went on board the boat called the Henrietta and soon found its captain.
"I'm Phileas Fogg. I wish to go to Liverpool. Where are you going?"
"And I am Andrew Speedy. I'm bound for Bordeaux."
"Will you take me and three others to Liverpool?"
"No, sir. I'm going to Bordeaux and only there."
"Well, will you carry me to Bordeaux? I'll offer you $2,000 per person."
Captain Speedy thought about it for a moment. He didn't like carrying passengers, but $8,000 was a lot to gain.
"This boat leaves at 9 o'clock,
said Captain Speedy simply.
"We will be on board at 9 o'clock, replied Mr. Fogg.
They were all on board when the Henrietta was ready to depart 30 minutes later. What happened after Phileas Fogg and the others got on board the ship is very simple. Phileas Fogg had arranged passage for Bordeaux with Captain Speedy. However, soon after departing New York, he had managed to pay off the crew and take over the command of the ship. This is why Captain Speedy was currently locked away in his cabin, and also why the Henrietta was directing her course toward England and not France. Passepartout was delighted with his master's actions. As for Fix, he understood nothing of what was going on. The takeover of the Henrietta, the crew being paid off, and Mr. Fogg commanding the boat amazed and confused him. December 16th was the 75th day since Phileas Fogg's departure from London. On this day, Passepartout overheard the engineer telling his master that they didn't have enough coal to go all the way to Liverpool. Mr. Fogg told him to feed all the fires until the coal ran out. Thus, the Henrietta continued on at full steam, but on the 18th, the engineer announced that the coal would give out in the course of the day. At around noon, Phileas Fogg told Passepartout to release Captain Speedy. It was like the servant had been ordered to set a tiger free. In a few moments, Captain Speedy, in all his rage, appeared on deck.
"Where are we?"
were the first angry words he shouted.
707 miles from Liverpool, replied Mr. Fogg.
I have sent for you to ask you to sell me your vessel. The coal has given out and I need to burn part of her to keep going. Burn the Henrietta? A vessel worth $50,000?
Here are $60,000, replied Phileas Fogg, giving the captain a roll of bills.
In an instant, the captain forgot his anger and his forced confinement. Captain Speedy then grabbed the banknotes, counted them, and put them in his pocket. On December 20th, they sighted the Irish coast, and by 10 in the evening they were passing Queenstown. Phileas Fogg only had 24 hours more in which to get to London. Queenstown is the Irish port where the transatlantic steamship stopped to drop off the mail. The mail is then carried to Dublin by express trains. From Dublin, it is sent on to Liverpool by fast boats, and therefore gained 12 hours on the steamships. Phileas Fogg counted on gaining 12 hours in the same way. Instead of arriving at Liverpool the next evening on the Henrietta, he would be there by noon, and would have time to get to London before 8:45 in the evening. The Henrietta entered Queenstown Harbor at 1 o'clock in the morning. The party went on shore immediately. They didn't delay getting on the train, which was ready to start at 1:30. By dawn, they were in Dublin, and they lost no time in embarking on a steamship to Liverpool. Phileas Fogg at last arrived on the Liverpool quay at 12:20 on December 21st. At this moment, Fix came up to Mr. Fogg and, showing his warrant, said,
"Phileas Fogg, you're arrested for robbery."
Fix had arrested Mr. Fogg because it was his duty, whether Mr. Fogg was guilty or not. Mr. Fogg, having arrived at Liverpool at 12:20 on December 21st, had until 9:15 that evening to reach the Reform Club. The journey from Liverpool to London was 6 hours. At the custom house, Mr. Fogg sat on a wooden chair and waited. The clock struck 1. Suddenly, Mr. Fogg saw that his watch was 2 hours too fast. 2 hours! His forehead slightly wrinkled as he thought about what to do. At 2:33, he heard noise outside the doors. The doors then swung open, and he saw Passepartout, Aouda, and Fix hurry toward him. Fix could barely speak.
"Sir," he said, "please forgive me, but the real robber was arrested 3 days ago. You are free."
Mr. Fogg, Aouda, and Passepartout left the custom house and hurried to the train station. The fast train to London had left 35 minutes before, so Mr. Fogg ordered a special train to take him to London. There were a few delays along the way, and when Mr. Fogg stepped from the train in London, all the clocks in the station were striking 9:10. Having made the tour of the world, he was 5 minutes behind. He had lost the wager. After leaving the station, Mr. Fogg gave Passepartout instructions to purchase some provisions and quietly went to his home in Savile Row. The night passed, and the next day Mr. Fogg did not go to the Reform Club, as was his previous habit. Mr. Fogg remained at home. He locked himself up in his room and kept busy getting his affairs in order. At 7:30 in the evening, Mr. Fogg sent for Aouda. In a few moments, he found himself alone with her. He sat for several minutes without speaking, and then said to her, "When I decided to bring you far away from India, I was rich. I had counted on some of my fortune being available to you when we finished our journey. But now I am bankrupt. I would like to give you what little I have left."
"But what will happen to you, Mr. Fogg?"
"I don't need anything."
"I pity you, then, because loneliness is a sad thing." Aouda continued, and as she did, she took his hand in hers. Only Passepartout had known for a long time how Aouda really felt about Mr. Fogg. Now she was ready to reveal her feelings to him. "You don't have any friends or relatives, but I can be both. Will you have me as your wife?"
Mr. Fogg stood up and looked at Aouda. He quietly took her hand and said, "I love you, and I am entirely yours." Passepartout was called and appeared immediately. Mr. Fogg asked his servant if it was not too late to inform the Reverend Samuel Wilson of his wish to marry at once. Passepartout smiled and said,
"Never too late. Will it be for tomorrow on Monday?"
"Yes, for tomorrow," said Mr. Fogg. Passepartout hurried off as quickly as possible. The time was 8:05. As this was all unfolding at Savile Row, Mr. Fogg's 5 friends at the Reform Club were in a state of suspense. No news of Mr. Fogg had been received. On the evening that Phileas Fogg was to return, December 21st, the 5 men all waited anxiously in the great saloon of the club. When the clock showed 8:20, Mr. Stewart got up saying, "Gentlemen, in 20 minutes the time agreed upon between Mr. Fogg and ourselves will have passed."
"The fact is," added Mr. Flanagan, "Mr. Fogg's project was certainly foolish. He could not prevent the delays which were certain to occur."
The hands of the club clock counted off the time until 8:40.
5 minutes more," said Mr. Stewart.
The gentlemen continued with their card game, but could not keep their eyes off the clock.
One more minute and they would win the wager. Just as the players rose from their seats, the door of the saloon opened. The clock had not struck the 60th second when Phileas Fogg appeared. In his calm voice, he said, "Here I am, gentlemen." Yes, Phileas Fogg in person. But how was this possible? The reader will remember that at 5 minutes past 8 in the evening, about 25 hours after the arrival of the travelers in London, Passepartout had been sent by his master to engage the services of the Reverend in a certain marriage ceremony, which was to take place the next day. Passepartout went out to complete his task, but when he reached the Reverend's house, he found that he was not home. At 8:30 past eight, Passepartout could be seen running along the street as never a man was seen to run before. Less than 5 minutes later, he staggered back into Mr. Fogg's room. "What is the matter?" asked Mr. Fogg. "My master," gasped Passepartout. "The marriage is impossible for tomorrow."
"Why?"
"Because tomorrow is Sunday. You have made a mistake of one day. We arrived 24 hours ahead of time, but there is only 10 minutes left."
Phileas Fogg, not having a second to think, left his house, jumped into a taxi, and promised the driver £100 if he got him to the Reform Club as fast as possible. The clock indicated 9:15 when he appeared in the great saloon. Phileas Fogg had accomplished the tour around the world in 80 days. How was it that a man so exact and careful about everything could have made an error of a day? Mr. Fogg had, without realizing it, gained one day on his journey, and this was simply because he had traveled constantly east. By going in this direction, Phileas Fogg saw the sun pass the meridian 80 times, but his friends in London only saw it pass the meridian 79 times. Phileas Fogg had won his wager of £20,000 and had made his journey around the world in 80 days. To do this, he had used every form of transportation, steamships, railways, carriages, merchant vessels, sleds, and an elephant. But what had this odd gentleman really gained by all this trouble? What had he brought back from this long and exhausting journey? Nothing but a charming woman, who, strange as it may appear, made him the happiest man in the world.